Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I'm Mike Haas. I work with USDA. Another thing that has brought a lot of rejuvenation to the rural sector is not only renewable fuels, but recently recovered petroleum fuels. I'm from Pennsylvania. They frack everything that stands still very long. The Dakotas are also being revitalized. I'm wondering if you have seen anything that indicates what I've perceived, that perhaps this is decreasing the emphasis on renewables. I think that might be another threat to it. I appreciate what you said about the report your department issued yesterday, and early on you talked about climate change, but is there and I appreciate the president's executive actions to do what other arms of the government cannot do with regard to environmental awareness, but is there a sense that maybe conversations about climate change have become a third rail and it doesn't resonate too much among the populace? Have you seen anything like this at your level and decisions in response to it? Thank you.
Well, first of all, I think the above energy strategy doesn't necessarily mean that by natural gas being available or by more oil being produced in the United States that we necessarily will see a backward step on renewables, because renewables have other advantages and other reasons. I mean, the whole octane issue on the ethanol side, for example, is a good example of why we're going to continue to have a robust, in my view, a robust renewable energy industry. The jobs that are created, another reason. The income that helps to produce, another reason. In terms of, I've actually forgotten the last part of your question.
Is it the third rail?
Yeah, third rail of climate change. Well, I think it depends on how you talk about it. Okay, we'll just use this group as a sort of a test. Okay, so I'm here today to talk to you about climate change and how your lives are going to be fundamentally changed and different because the world's going to get hotter and you're not going to be able to grow what you grow and you're not going to be able to raise what you raise, and doggone it, you better get cooking and you better understand this is a hell of a problem and you better change your life. So start changing the light bulbs, start changing your utilities, start driving a car, well, shoot, forget the car, start bicycling to work. Or we could say this. You know, agriculture is a risky business. My heavens, how many risks can you name? But one risk is that we don't have any control over Mother Nature. And every year, we try to outsmart Mother Nature, and you know, frankly, we do a pretty good job. We develop new seed technologies, we develop new irrigation systems, we develop new chemicals and pesticides that help us mitigate risk. We got a new risk that we got to think about, which is that the climate's changing and these weather conditions are liable to get more severe. They may be more frequent. We may have drier conditions where we used to have pretty good conditions. We may have wetter conditions in other places. Let's figure out how we adapt to this. What crops will be better raised in this area? What technologies can we use from a seed technology standpoint that will mitigate the fact that we may not have quite as much water? Yeah, what planning decisions do we need to make? Are we really fully utilizing all of our potential? Let's look at the possibility of cover crops and multiple cropping and how that might be different from one part of the country to another, and let's do the research and understand it better. And let's, by the way, figure out markets for all this stuff, because it isn't just going to, we're not going to feed it to livestock. We're going to create new chemicals. We're going to create new polymers. We're going to create new fabrics. We're going to create new, and we're going to reduce greenhouse gases because we're going to have ecosystem markets that's based on this new conservation ethic. And, you know, actually, we got a lot of risk management opportunities here. So let's have a conversation about that. I don't know, folks, which one? I mean, that's how I think we have to talk about it. I mean, let's not scare people. There's no reason to scare people. Let's talk about the opportunity side of this. Americans are extraordinary when it comes to challenges. I mean, think about what we've done in the lifetime of the people in this room. I mean, if somebody and I'm 62 years old, somebody had told me when I was born in 1950 that, you know, within your teenage years, we're actually going to land somebody on the moon. Are you crazy? If somebody had told you that you could take this little instrument and have it run your life?
It's not a good thing.
Well, it may not be, but I mean, think about this thing. I mean, you know, I remember growing up as a kid reading Dick Tracy, and he had the watch, you know, that he could talk to. You know, here it is. It's an amazing country, and we're on the cusp in rural America of having something akin to this, of just basically taking everything we grow on a renewable basis and figuring out a million different things to make from it. And we're far ahead of a lot of people on these technologies. So I think it's not the third rail. I think it's an opportunity. Now, but it does depend on how you talk about it, how you frame it. And I think for those of you who may be going to the Outlook Forum later this month at USDA, we're going to talk about risk management. And part of my remarks are going to be what we are doing and what we're planning on doing at USDA in terms of this particular issue and how we're going to try to get rural America, USDA, agriculture sort of ahead of this curve as opposed to behind it.